One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Cheaper Than Therapy, a podcast that journeys into conversations that demystify, destigmatize, and desensitize what goes on both inside the therapy room and in daily life.
I'm Vanessa Bennett.
And I'm Danae Logan.
And we are seekers, soul sisters, and holders of sacred space. Every week, we sit down for soul-provoking conversations with fellow seekers, thought leaders, change makers, and even real people during live coaching sessions as they navigate the hard work it takes to be a human.
This is Cheaper Than Therapy. Hey guys, welcome back to Cheaper Than Therapy. I'm so excited about today's guest.
It's funny that you and I were just talking recently about how like the nerd in me wants to bring on people that I can like nerd out with on topics that are like this, like, you know, medical, or like I said neurobiology and you were like, oh dear God.
But for the record, this woman is not talking about neurobiology. No. If you're about to listen.
Hey, but even if listening. You are, there's a lot of interest in that from a lot of people today.
Okay,
just because you don't think it's interesting doesn't mean everybody else doesn't think it's interesting. But I just, this kind of like filled my cup because I feel like we talked mental health, which y'all are used to hearing us talk about, but we also talk to somebody who's doing a lot of really amazing things out there and is bringing like tangible products.
Yeah.
In order to help us, right?
Yeah. I mean, I love talking to her for two reasons. I feel like one, I think we always talk about how can we bring value to our listeners. And I feel like knowing about Kensho Health certainly brings a lot of value to anyone listening. It's like a system of referrals. And I think like we always need to know mental health referrals. So this is a place that people can actually have access to some of this care. But also, I love that she is someone that saw these are things that are wrong with the system. And here's what I'm actually going to do to be a part of the solution. You know, we all are like venting so often about what is wrong and what are the problems, but I just am so inspired by people who make the decision to actively do something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you guys are going to be really inspired by her personal story. And I think there was a lot of like head nodding on Danae and my sides about like, oh yeah, been there, right? Like experienced a similar kind of vibe or feeling. And just how she then took that experience and let it mold her and shape her and be like the propeller, I guess, that pushed her to the action, like you said.
Absolutely. Enjoy, guys. Today we have with us Krista Berlincourt, and Krista is the CEO and co-founder of Kensho Health, a company that is focused on bettering the lives of people by making wellness experts accessible. We're so on board with that, Krista.
Yep.
Krista is an early appointee of the Forbes Council, a founding member of the Aspen Institute's Fringe Diplomacy, was named one of the Business Insider's top change makers in tech, and most recently recognized as Los Angeles's Rising Entrepreneur of the Year. Love that. Yeah. Krista is an internationally accredited coach and author who explores the wide world of shame, grief, joy, and all of the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual things that make us human. Krista, we can already tell you're our kind of people, and we're so excited you're here with us today. Thanks for coming.
I'm so excited. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. So I think we just want to dive right in, right? I think there's like a twofold question here, because we want to hear about you specifically. Like, how did you get to the place where you were creating this amazing concept, business, I mean, new world kind of way of having, you know, healthcare, everything accessible at your fingertips. And then also, what does that look like, right? Like, what was the kind of conception of that, the inception of that, and where has it gone, I guess, the journey to kind of become what it is now?
Where do you want me to start? Yeah, what do you want me to start?
Let's start with you.
Yeah, with you.
Tell us about you.
I was born in Eugene, Oregon, November 18th, 1986, almost 35 years from today. Mm. I was born in a small town, actually, on the outskirts of a small town. And it took me until more recently to really understand how our history, heritage, and effectively our ancestry affect that, like how we were raised and what those values were. In my family, our religion was nature. So you see this tree behind me, everybody laughs, but you know, I work outside. Why? Because it makes me happy. Nature makes me happy. And my family was a roller coaster, I think is a nice way to put it, as many families are. And that brought with it an early adulthood and an entry point into a lot of learnings, a lot of lessons that came, you know, early for me. And I think that also for a while, it held me in this desire to really want to be safe. Mm-hmm. I was like the queen of safety. Through therapy, I now know that that part of me is safety first, Sue. She is my mom. Hey, mom. And that's a part that she's working to let go of as well. You know, I also had an element of like hopeless Hattie, my grandma and me. And so there's this inherited sort of trauma that came from my family. That led me to play it pretty safe. I stayed and went to college in the town that I grew up in. I was with my high school sweetheart for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Wonderful guy, high school sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And then I finally left. I went to the faraway town that was an hour and a half away, Portland, Oregon. And I worked for great tech companies. I worked in transformative technology for Microsoft and for T-Mobile, Deutsche Telekom. And it was really the time of the mobile boom. So, you know, it was the beginning of people understanding that this little thing wasn't just an app, that it was actually a business, an enterprise that could change everything. And that was a great thing. And then I left and joined a company by the name of Simple. And that company, I would say, changed my life. You know, I hope that the company I'm building now will do the same for people who come to join us. But, you know, it snatched me up when I was 25 and I joined as the head of marketing for a company with, you know, five other male co-founders who could not have been more supportive, better big brothers to really show me the world. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of when life took off. I started traveling a lot. I joined, you know, the Aspen Institute. And the company was acquired only 2 years after I joined. So it was a really fast trajectory. Mm-hmm. And because of that really fast trajectory, I burnt out. Mm-hmm. And you know, what I've come to understand now is burnout is kind of like a dirty word. I feel the same about the word burnout as I do about someone saying they have anxiety or depression, or it's some sort of insurmountable thing that you've afflicted on yourself. Mm-hmm. The truth is I just didn't sleep enough. And I did too much, and my hormones became unbalanced, which is unfortunately pretty standard for most women as they approach 30, because you're hungry, you're hustling, and then, you know, things get out of whack. Your estrogen and progesterone, suddenly they need to express themselves and they can't. But that led me to really explore the healthcare side of things. And when I explored healthcare, and at this point in my life, I had resources for the first time, you know, coming from, we lived well below the poverty line growing up. And suddenly I had the stability that comes with an acquisition. I had the community that comes with being in an early, you know, in a tech company that did well, and I still couldn't get answers. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what gives? Like, why can't I fix this? So I was put on a pretty hefty regimen of steroids and hormone therapy. And at one point I was hospitalized I flew from where I was living in Portland to my then partner's house, romantic partner in Austin. I did long distance for 3 years because, like, why not add a little another variable for exhaustion? Like, yeah, and I was going to New York every twice a month. You know, it's like the Bermuda Triangle. And when I got to Austin, I was having chest pain, and I was already performing. You know, I was already really following the hormone regimen from the allopathic, from the conventional doctors, and I thought I was having a heart attack. I was like, am I really 28 and having a heart attack? Is that even possible? I'm not even stressed out. And when I went to the hospital, they informed me that it was just that my hormones were so low that my cortisol had reached zero, you know, bottom line. And because of that, I couldn't get it back. Like, it couldn't increase. It needed more stability. And so they said, we actually just have to give you more hormones more often forever.
Whoa.
And forever is just such a heavy word. Yeah, as a 28-year-old,
I mean, geez.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not even unhealthy. I just,
yeah,
something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And so that led me to holistic. Yeah.
Wow. I'm so struck as you're talking about it, Krista, how much we as a society have normalized living out of alignment. Because similar to what you're saying, I think quite often, whether we're talking about anxiety or depression or burnout, whenever I'm working with clients, if we dig a little deeper, there's some way we're living out of alignment, either whether it's some shadow aspect of self that we need to have a deeper look at, or it's the way that we have just normalized, like you spoke to, being in our late 20s and working to a point where I don't feel like I'm stressed out. I feel like everything's fine. And yet the pace at which I'm keeping is just, I don't know, like there's not a lot of balance there. And I think it's just, it's important to name that, because I think we've sort of, like you said, like burnout means you're doing something wrong, or burnout means you've made a conscious choice to burn yourself out. And I think, I don't know, is it that, or is it that we are sort of a society that in a lot of ways is out of alignment with the ways that we teach people to work and to strive, you know?
Right, being in buildings with these fluorescent lights for 12, 13 hours a day, and you never see the sunlight, and you never, you know, and I worked in New York in the corporate world for a long time too. And so your daylight hours are even shorter out there. And there would literally be days that would go by that I don't think I saw the sun. It's crazy the kind of effects that can have on you.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I look at it now and I'm like, would I do anything different? Right? There's always like that question, like, not a damn thing.
Yeah.
You know, if I went backwards in my career, is my aspiration after this company to go build more and more and more and more? No, it's to enjoy life also. But it's to enjoy life now. So now the expression of my long days building a company is, you know, living in a treehouse, because it makes me happy. And that's how I counterbalance.
Yeah.
The, you know, really high energy output. But I think the question that we all, it's something that only women do. Did you know that? That women, women preposition the things we say with, I think, and just say it. It's pretty magnificent. I know. But we, you know, as people, we label ourselves as being broken. And that's, you know, the piece that's cheaper than therapy. I wish that I would have known that so much sooner, is like, you're great. And there's something that's out of alignment. And so it's not that you are working too much because you are flawed. It's not that I was burnt out. It was that something just wasn't computing right. Like the math was wrong. And I, at that time in my life, I didn't know how to look at that holistically. And I remember going to a naturopath for the first time, which was covered by my insurance because I lived in Oregon and we were a progressive employer. There's 13 states in the country that actually cover naturopathy as primary care providers. So, you know, covered by insurance, and they can route you to everyone else.
That's amazing.
And I sat down and they gave me this life wheel. And I was like, what's this? And I filled it out and I thought, 8 elements of well-being? I really only had my relationship and my job. You know, I was lucky if I slept. And those were the two things that I was prioritizing above all else. And I think, you know, for me, that was a wake up call, followed by many others after, but it's had so much to do with the way that I've served clients. I imagine the way you serve clients, and certainly the way that we've built Kensho. Like, how can you give people something that makes that sort of epiphany moment hyper accessible, where you're not labeling yourself as burnt out or anxious or depressed?
Well, and I love too what you said. And you know, we ask everybody to kind of give us a little bit of a write-up before they come on. And you were talking about this idea that all self-destructive behavior comes from this misguided belief that we're not enough, right? Mm. And I think as therapists, Danae and I obviously work with people so frequently on whatever their variation is of I'm not enough, right? Or I'm too much, which is really just the same side of, you know, different side of the same coin. And what you said just a second ago, which is so profound, is like, it's not about maybe even convincing yourself that you are enough. Because I think when some people come into therapy, that feels like this insurmountable kind of belief shift that I have to undergo, right? And it almost feels a little like fake, which it can feel in the beginning, like it's fake to just say, I am enough, you know, when you really don't believe it. But what you just said was maybe instead of thinking, I'm paraphrasing, maybe instead of thinking it's not about I'm not enough, it's like something's just out of alignment. Like maybe it's just that simple, y'all. Like,
and maybe what's out of alignment isn't even me. It's the society and the norms that society has created. Like so much of what Chris is saying, like how many people live that way, you know?
Yeah. I think, well, that it's like, what if it's just not right for you instead of enough? Mm-hmm. Is it just, if you look at the composition of your life and there's a big divot because there's a lack of love or a lack of space for learning and growth or a lack of time for family or an absence of intimate connections with friends. Like, of course you're going to feel crappy. Your wheel can't roll. It has a significant imbalance. And unfortunately, particularly America, it is truly unique in the way that we approach that and saying like, you are wrong. This is flawed. You need to pay for a solution. You need to fix yourself. You need to buy something. This supplement, this pill, this, take a pill, even supplementation, even like go buy this class, do this thing. You know, it's what if you just give people the tools and partnered support for self-belief in order to think, well, I just need to shift some things around, and the added perspective of another person who's invested in my healing could be really great.
So as you started to investigate this holistic world a little bit, what did you start to understand about yourself?
Oh man, back then, that was a journey. I think it was really understanding. I just started to understand myself more. In some ways, I don't think it was about the what as much as the sum and substance of it, and creating a place of quiet so that I could hear myself. That was the most profound learning. And it's something that I'm being reminded of all the time. You know, I need space to be quiet, and that's different for every person. If you were raised in a hustling, bustling city and you love it and the chaos and the energy, and you go into nature and you feel stifled and, you know, dead inside, I get it. Like mine's just the opposite. So I need the nature in order to go hear who I am at the end of the day. And it makes me a better person for me and for everyone else. And I learned that it's okay to have needs. You know, I was so used to quieting those needs in order to perform in my role, in my relationship, in my friendships, in my family, to take care of everyone all the time. You know, I was like never not fixing. And I was the bottom of the totem pole. And I think, you know, over the years that followed, I learned that in order to be great and do great things, you got to be the top of the totem pole. I imagine that's what you work with most of your clients on ultimately at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, even to have good relationships with those people you love, you have to put yourself at the top of the totem pole.
It's not selfish. It's in many ways, it's funny. It's selfless. Like to actually care about yourself, there's a selflessness in that because why? Yeah. Ultimately, for most people, it's not because I think I'm the greatest thing and I want to hang out by myself all day. It's because I want to love and be loved. I want to, you know, pursue great things and be pursued by great things. I want to expand. I want to, you know, it's because I want, not, and it's generally for things that are connected to other living beings. Mm.
Yeah. I just loved how much you talked about, you know, this journey into holistic healing was really about getting to know myself. I think so much of what Vanessa and I are constantly talking about in terms of the work we do with clients is really around how do I get to know myself a little bit more in terms of getting to know my nature, getting to know
my needs.
Yeah, what feels true for me, mm-hmm. aside from whatever I've been conditioned to believe should be, like that I should be able to thrive in a city if that's not the truth of how it actually feels, but that what I need and my nature are actually that way for a specific reason. A lot of times I love to say that's where our power lies, you know, clearly for you and like watching you in this treehouse and the way that you are sort of thriving in what you're building, tapping into that has been a real catalyst for you being able to serve in the world, you know?
It also took me a really damn long time to own it, you know? It doesn't mean that I don't love European cities or even, you know, I think European cities far more than American cities, but like, I love art, I love culture, I love music, I love people, I love learning, I love really intense, smart people. I love moving quickly for periods of time. But I remember when I moved to LA, I think it was my second day here, and I was connected to a friend through a friend and went to my first party, kind of dinner party gathering in Venice, and I was sunburned. And one of the guys was like, oh, fresh meat. She just moved here. And then another woman next to him was like, you're really earthy. And I was just like, so offended. And then a few weeks later, a good girlfriend of mine, Carly Stein, who's also an entrepreneur, she has a company, Beekeepers Naturals. And she was like, she called me, she walked into the house for something and she said, oh, earth mama. And I was so offended. I was like, who are these people calling me earthy? I'm a city person. I am refined. And it was this idea of, yeah, I can enjoy refinement, but ultimately in my soul, you know, in my deepest truth, it's nature. But it took me 5 years to move into the damn treehouse.
And also, doesn't that speak to another part of this idea of like discovering self, which is not having to deny certain parts of ourself for other parts of us to actually thrive, right? It's this yes and mentality. I can love cities and culture and fast, because I feel like you're speaking my language. Like, I can love all of those things, and I can love sitting alone quietly outside for hours and love every moment of it, you know?
Yeah. In my experience, that has been the biggest learning. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think that there's some destruction. There's deep destruction in the way that the nomenclature, the lexicon that Instagram has given women. Of like, you can have, I can't even. Like, yeah, you can, and you are. Like, what do you mean you can't even? That's terrible. Or the idea of like, you can have it all. It's like, it's not about having, it's about just understanding that it all is what is needed to give you fulfillment and ease and joy. And it's not about being greedy, but like architecting your ideal life where, you know, now I'm in Topanga. It's 17 minutes to Santa Monica and to my business partner's house. That's a great thing. The city's right there, but it's not my resting place.
But that feels like a cultural language thing, right? Like even this idea of you can have it all, or like, you know, I've been talking a lot with people about this idea of moms being superwoman, right? And like how detrimental that language actually can be. That feels also like part of the culture that we live in, the air that we breathe, right? Which is like have, do, you know, rather than be, rather than be still, rather than discovery, rather, you know, a lot of these more like feminine words and qualities and ways of being versus that very hyper masculine way of being, right?
Yes. As women, one of the women who works on my team, Carly is out here this week, working on a big thing that we're launching soon that we're really excited about. And we were talking about, you know, we had worked all day and we had gone on a hike to move our bodies while we were still working, and we'd come home and we had made dinner while she was sending an email for us. And I was, you know, looking through the little, I'm chopping vegetables, and we were just doing. And then I was like, how do moms do it? How do working moms do it? Do you just get a nanny and your mother and your in-laws and you stop sleeping?
We
started having that conversation though, which is like, why celebrate that? You know, I don't know that we should celebrate we should celebrate moms. That's incredible. But we shouldn't celebrate the, you know, she, what's the movie that Sarah Jessica Parker was in? It's like, she's
how
got it all.
How does she do it?
Does she do it?
And something you're like that.
She doesn't look happy doing it.
Yeah,
like,
right, exactly.
I don't know about how she does it, but like, how does she feel doing it? you know,
she
my
functions
favorite question
in survival mode all day, every day. And then her child feels and suffers from that because she's in survival mode, and her relationship with her children and her partner suffers from that because she's in survival mode. Right. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Totally. People are like, why 9 o'clock? Like, oh, I'm on my sixth coffee of the day and it's 9 o'clock and I don't know why I can't sleep. And I'm like, I have got an idea, and it is called stimulants. And I get it. But if your life requires you to have coffee and wine to wind up and wind down, like, why? You know, what's going on in your daily life that there's not space for your body to follow its own circadian rhythm? Yeah. If you enjoy wine and coffee, go for it. I don't care. Like, enjoy the pleasure of life as well. But, you know, I think we make it so hard on ourselves by trying to follow this prescribed ideal that's effectively based on a consumer trend, right? Consumerism is trying to sell us stuff, and it's like, well, now I'm supposed to only drink matcha and not coffee, and I can have mezcal but not wine, and I'm supposed to get up at this time and supposed to go to bed at this time and supposed to do this trendy new workout. And you're like, what if you just like what you like and it works for you?
Yeah,
I love so much that you're bringing this up, Krista. I've been having this conversation with so many moms lately. That Anne Lamott quote that's sort of like, perfectionism is the voice of the oppressor. And like, what if our activism is pushing back on this, I am never enough as a mother, I need to feel guilt because I'm carving out time for myself, that it is in any way serving my child, my relationships, for me to be this martyr around a life that I am like hating living, literally. I can't tell you the number of women who like, I'm like, do you like your life? Yeah, it feels like you hate your life. And why is that like a choice that we're making? Like, that is handing all of our power over to wounded patriarchal systems. What if we said, I'm not participating in that? Like, that's my activism.
Right. And like, also to be clear, I mean, you know, we're not, this conversation is not talking about the women who have to work 60 hours a week in order to actually put food on the table, right? That's an entirely different conversation. This is like when you find that you're actually choosing that kind of lifestyle because you think it's what you're supposed to do. That's the sickness.
And that's, I think, you know, as I said, like, my mom worked two jobs. She started a bike store. She was the first female bike store owner in the States, you know, in the 70s, when it could not have been a less friendly environment to women. Mm-hmm. It was never a business that did well, but it brought her a hell of a lot of joy working with people every day. Capitalistically, it was not exactly a moneymaker. You know, my dad ran the National Ski Patrol in the Pacific Northwest and was a builder. And it took me a long time to understand, you know, a lot of the things that created volatility in our family were related to money. But the inverse of that is that we were so rich in so many experiences and, you know, spending a month on the Grand Canyon and riding horses into the wilderness for 3 weeks and all the things that come with it. There's a lifestyle design. And so it's always this exchange of, you know, I recently started dating someone who's not American. We were talking about it. It's like, Americans just think we need so much money and we'll constantly invent needs in order to spend it. And once we have it, we're trying to figure out what to do with it. Yes. But like, what if the point of life is actually just to enjoy it?
Mind-blowing, right? What a concept.
What? then you're like, oh God. I mean, I'm not supposed to be a superlative. Like, it's not it's not high school superlatives. You're not supposed to be the best, fastest, richest, biggest, coolest. You're just supposed to build a life. And hopefully there's also some selflessness where you feel, you know, an indentured sort of like servitude to the planet, because we get it, to make it better, leave it better than you found it.
What a concept.
I love it.
I know, I was talking to my business coach actually about this months ago, where we were, you know, I'm like putting all these things in place and I'm building these products and I'm this and I'm that, and I'm kind of going. And there was like one point where she was like, started kind of stripping away a lot of the things that I had on my like quote unquote to-do list or like what I wanted to do. And she's like, do you really want to do that? Or do you just feel like you have to be busy in order to be worth anything? Right. Because she's like, what I'm hearing, it's like almost like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth, because you're constantly talking about this desire to slow down, this desire to be with your children or your child, this is, you know, but then you're like, let me build. And it's like, I feel like that's not you. That's not coming from you. Right. And let's get really real about what do you want versus what do you think you need to be doing. And I don't know what it was about the way that she said it to me, but there really was this kind of click for me where I was like, oh, right. It's like we were talking about earlier. I can enjoy the fast pace in spurts. It doesn't have to be my constant. It doesn't have to be how I live all the time. I can do it. And then I can step back and enjoy my life that I'm building. And then I can dip in and dip out, et cetera. So yeah, I mean, I think that so much of this is like, it's just so real and alive right now when we're questioning so many of these structures that we've never questioned before. But I do want to kind of shift because I want to talk more about Kensho, right? So like, here you are, you're building this amazing company, you know, tell our listeners kind of the ethos of it, but tell them like what it brings. What stage are you at, I guess, in the business? Like, obviously I've stalked the hell out of it, but I'm super curious to be able to, you know, give this info to as many people as possible.
Yeah, we launched the business, we raised our first fundraising round. So startups are, for those who aren't familiar, this interesting roller coaster where you really have two parallel lines. And one is build it quickly and go as fast as you can, but don't go off the runway. Mm-hmm. And so the runway is while you're building, you're also fundraising, which is kind of like having two kids, because you're trying to, you're working the kind of the day job with the kids and then the night job of trying to fundraise and make sure that you can feed the kids. which is just a crazy equation for anyone who has a company. And so we raised our first round in 2019. And then in 2020, we launched early 2020, and we launched as a marketplace for holistic health providers. And we launched just a few weeks before COVID, which is an interesting time to launch a marketplace. Marketplaces are amazing and powerful. They help people find things, but they're also governed by internet gravity. Mm-hmm. And we were a tiny marketplace in a big, you know, the wild world of the internet. And so we really focused that, I would say, 2020 on helping people. We asked ourselves the question of, you know, how can we use the 1,000 providers we have on the platform to help people feel better? Because mm-hmm. this year is hard on everyone. Mm-hmm. It was a roller coaster for us as a business, you know, just really trying to ride the waves and know that whatever was meant to be would be. And ultimately, we then raised our next round from some great investors and, you know, are well capitalized in a great place now. But we've also learned a lot of things about marketplaces and the dynamics of a business where, you know, you're effectively trying to get the provider, the healthcare provider, to pay to see a patient, but the healthcare provider doesn't want to because they ultimately have this feeling that they're just kind of entitled to seeing the patient. Mm-hmm. And so what we did is we really listened to our community. And the one thing we kept getting asked for is like, I just don't know how to ride this ride. I don't feel well, and I wish someone would tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I need a therapist. I don't know if I need a doctor. I just know that I have an upset stomach, or I feel depressed, or, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if I have long haul COVID. Like, I don't know where to start. And all of that I don't know ultimately led us to this place where we're really excited. We're launching health coaching membership mm-hmm. subscription. And so a holistic health coach is really trained in integrative nutrition, but also in what I would call lighter touch, like cognitive behavioral therapy and transformative mm-hmm. psychology. And so making that resource more accessible to people where you're able to order tests and get some clarity into what's going on. You're able to work with a health coach on an ongoing basis. And if you need a specialist, we can route you to that person because we have the nation's largest network of holistic providers. Mm-hmm. So I think companies like Parsley Health did a lot to sort of break ground in this new concept, but that system is also really constrained because what if what you need is a therapist, not a functional medicine doctor? What if what you need is a holistic gynecologist? What if what you need is, you know, an internist? It really depends on what you're dealing with. What if you need a dermatologist? And so now we're at this place where we're able to really service clients to connect the dots. And that's the things that we hear from patients all the time is, I just want someone to connect the dots. I just want someone to be there with me. I just want someone to help me figure this out. Mm-hmm. I just want someone to support me in feeling better. And that's effectively what we can offer now, which is really exciting.
I love that. I love that. I mean, it's like being able to feel like you have somebody that's like on your team. I mean, we all know this because we've all worked, the three of us, I know, all worked the coaches and therapists along our journey, but like somebody who's standing there going, I don't actually know the exact answer for you, but I'm going to stand by you and we're going to figure it out together. And I'm going to support you during the process. That experience or relationship alone can have such a profound healing aspect.
Yeah, and the team. I remember actually, a girlfriend who's coming over for dinner tonight. Ironically enough, I remember her talking to me about, you know, she was trying to get pregnant, which is amazing that I'm seeing her because she's now has a 2-year-old. And I was just so close along for the ride of really like wanting this so deeply for her to get pregnant. She had a team, and she had her acupuncturist and her herbalist and her guy, like she had a team set up to support her through, you know, approaching pregnancy holistically. And then ultimately she went with IVF, but that journey. And I just remember her saying like, it's so overwhelming to have such a big team and you're trying to connect the dots. And for us, it's, you know, you want one person who's your day-to-day team, but then you also want a place and a platform that connects it all. Like, yeah. why is healthcare so fractured? Why is it so challenging? Why does it feel like it's an uphill battle? And the answer, unfortunately, is that it's really good for capitalism.
Right.
when you can't export your data from one system to another, just like, you know, I worked in phones before this at Microsoft. Like, I can't export my Apple Music to my Microsoft Music. Well, there's a reason, because you don't want me to leave.
Yeah.
You know, our goal is to really flatten that system and make it feel accessible. And with a coach, you have an entry point to wherever the journey takes you.
Mm-hmm.
We're not prescriptive. You know, I don't think that anyone needs one thing,
right?
But a coach is an advocate who you can talk to on an ongoing basis and make a health plan based on what you're working towards. Like that's a powerful thing.
Oh my gosh.
I'm curious for you, when you work with your clients, you know, what's the thing that you feel like you're hearing more of right now in this era of life?
I mean, I think what is always the most challenging, and this is a little bit the question I was curious to ask you about, Chris, is I feel like I come from community mental health, as most therapists do when they start off. You have to do a certain number mm-hmm. of hours in community mental health. And then, you know, those populations are just so underserved. And I think, you know, all of the spaces that we worked in are sort of reaching out and, you know, asking alumni to come back and help them, because there's just such a surge of people needing some sort of affordable mental health care. And our country is really not set up to make that easy for therapists. It is like a thing to work with insurance companies and follow up with super bills and, you know, circle back around to where they have denied claims, and, you know, it becomes like another full-time job. And so, especially in California, what I find is so many therapists say, you know, we're going to be out of network. You can work it out yourself. And that feels like a deterrent to a lot of people, where, you know, as I'm sure you know and have experienced, so often just making the call to a therapist is such a huge step for people. And then to make that call, and then this isn't under my insurance and it's going to be a headache, and then just forget it. Right. So I think a lot of times it's making it accessible and affordable to people at a time where I think an awareness of how much we need mental health support has surged beyond what we experienced before.
And that's, you know, it's like you were saying, it's like, it's a two-prong thing though, because it's like making it accessible to people and also making sure that therapists make a living wage, right? And it mm-hmm. seems like it's one or the other. In this country, we ask therapists to give up their ability to survive and make a living wage in order to serve populations that need it. Right? It's like, you have to choose one or the other. And there's a lot of, I've experienced a lot of therapist shame in our community around like, how many, you know, low pay or no pay clients are you taking? Are you working in community mental health? There's like kind of this martyr thing around like, well, I work 70 hours a week so that I can see as many, you know, low pay clients as possible. And it's like, but it doesn't have to be either or. That's a systemic issue. You know, we shouldn't as therapists have to then say, well, I can see this many clients and I'll make 35 grand a year if I'm lucky, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that goes back to like owning your needs, right?
Right.
So if our need requires the violation of another person's, the question's why. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that there shouldn't be selflessness and self-sacrifice. And, but it's like, is that really the answer? Because there's a lot of other things that are capitalistically covered. And there is now, mm-hmm. coverage for mental health and therapy nationwide through Medicare, Medicaid. Mm-hmm. You know, when we started the company looking at an integrated network for holistic medicine, I spent most of my investor meetings explaining to people what holistic medicine was. You know, fast forward, there's nationwide coverage for acupuncture. There's nationwide coverage for chiropractic. There's 13 states, as I mentioned, who have naturopathy as primary care provider designation. So, you know, that in many ways is really just the reflection of the United States is a very young country. And when we look at Europe, where healthcare has been around longer because the country has been around longer, regardless of, you know, the social conversation, the amount of money that's spent, it's 60% on complementary and alternative medicine. So the majority of healthcare is on integrative. Why? Because you're integrating. And so, you know, our thesis is that you're looking at whole person health. Therapists are exceptional. They're incredible. And if you have someone who's experiencing depression based on a parasite that's creating candida overgrowth and inflammation in the body that's making them feel depressed, the therapist can't necessarily solve that. And so you can therapize, you know, as long as possible, but there might actually be a biomarker that's contributing to the symptoms. In the same vein, you know, you look at physicians, incredible, but you can medicate someone or let go of pills and say, you can test, you know, supplement and change diet. But if the thing that's going on is really related to trauma or old patterned behaviors, you got to connect the dots.
Right.
And unless you connect mind and body, you know, spirit doesn't rise. Mm-hmm. You don't get to a place of feeling like, yeah, this is the life that I signed up for. This is the one I want to live.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
That was a powerful statement.
I mean,
everybody to come to that, right? Without those two things, you actually cannot have spirit rise. So
there's literally no way. I don't see a way how where you can say, well, I have a great therapist, but I don't go to my doctor. You know, I feel unwell. Yeah. I feel something is wrong. I know that. I acknowledge it. I'm not addressing it. Or I go to my doctor once a year. I have perfect blood pressure and my weight is within the normal range and my blood work seems fine, but you know, I'm clinically depressed and I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm miserable and I don't talk to anyone about it.
Yeah. I feel like this is revolutionary. I'm really excited. I'm excited to share this information with our listeners because I think it really is empowering to know that this is something that is available. I'd love to hear a little bit about, like, if I'm someone listening to this and this feels like, oh, this makes so much sense that there's a way to be walked through the process of like, what is actually happening with me? What would be someone's next steps or what could they expect when they look into Kensho Health?
Well, let's say that you say, okay, I'm going to go online and you look and you find us, you come across an ad or our website and you sign up. The first experience you have after sign up would be receiving your welcome sort of email series where we would ask you some questions that for most people, like I know I hadn't been asked until I was asked. You know, we'd share a life wheel with you and we'd say, hey, let's look at your whole health. Let's support you on your journey to whole human health. And you'd fill that out. And suddenly there would be this moment of clarity where you're actually looking at the whole picture of life for the first time. You know, what are those markings, 1 to 10? How do you feel? You'd then make a decision based on what you're experiencing. You know you better than anyone else. If there's lab tests that you think you want to order, you know, do you want clarity into your blood work? Do you want clarity into your stool? Do you want clarity into your hormones, which would be a salivary test? Where you're looking at, you know, your saliva over the course of a day. And with that, you'd actually enter your first health coaching visit with so much information. You'd have a sense of your body, right, from these tests. You'd also have a sense of your mind from looking at this whole person health map. And then you'd look at it together with your coach and you'd say, okay, here's what we know. Like, here's what we know based on what you've told me, but now let's dive in. Let's dig in together. And the one thing that I'm so proud of is that our coaches really take the time to get to know you. It's not, you know, I think it's great that there's all of these like wear a thing or take a test online and we'll send you an app and the app's going to tell you what to do. And I'm like, because that's how medicine works.
You're like, a human.
It's like, you're right. I forgot. One size fits all is great. We're all going to look great the same in the same outfit, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're all just so beautifully unique. And so your coach is going to work with you to make a health plan that is beautifully unique for you. You know, it will be reflective of what are your goals? What's your lifestyle? What are your preferences? Mm-hmm. What is it that you want to work on? And really help you get clear on that. And if that is, you know, there's something from the physical health side of things that you really, that, you know, that your tests suggest require deeper, more integrative care, Well, welcome to the nation's largest network of holistic medical providers. We can route you out to that person. There's a referral network, and we can have an elegant handoff with your tests, with where we can really broker that relationship in the same way that, you know, in the integrative system, or I'm sorry, the allopathic system, conventional medicine, as they call it, that your primary care provider does. And hopefully better, because you're going to meet with your coach again in 2 weeks or a month based on the plan that you pick, right? So I'm like, I think about that now in my journey of finding well-being, and I'm like, damn, I wish I had this. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish,
you know what, it's like
because I always had drop-off.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. This idea of drop-off, it reminds me of like, it's like having a little bit of accountability, actually. Like part of this process to me feels like there's going to be people that are quote unquote on your team, like not in an overwhelming way, but there's a bit of accountability in that, because there isn't going to be this drop-off when, you know, in 2 weeks time, you're coming back together and there's going to be a check-in. Like, how did it go? Did you talk to this person? You know, what did they ask you? And you're going to go into that more deeply. When I was a grad student, I was on Medi-Cal, which is, you know, California's version of Medicare. And I have never in my life felt such a burning desire to get in and help fix a superbly fucked up system in my entire life than when I was in the midst of it. And I could not believe just how horrible, and the drop off, and that they were burnt out, right? So they couldn't care, because they had nothing left to care with. I mean, I'm talking about the doctors. And I remember thinking, like, I am a white person that speaks English as my first language, and I'm having this much trouble. I can't even fathom what it's like if I were not those two things, right? And so what came up with me when you said that is just this word accountability is just like so such a forefront, I guess, in the forefront for me because of my experience.
Yeah, and most people don't have an advocate. Like, what if your accountability is also someone who's advocating for you? I mean,
yes.
I just look at my experience with my own healthcare, certainly servicing patients, supporting my family. It's like, it is just a broken system if you're trying to make your way through unscathed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing that I'm most excited about is that building this product, you know, we really kind of, the shift over into coaching came about because we started looking at how we could sell it into this offering, you know, this adaptation of our marketplace into the enterprise, into businesses, which is, again, the non-circuitous journey of business as a startup. And one of the conversations we had very early on was with high intent and high interest was the LAUSD school district. Well, what's a better thing that you can do than give teachers a health coach? What if you made teachers feel better? Mm. Well, then all of their students feel better. Well, what if their students feel better? Then their parents would feel better. Well, that is a great idea. You know, that there's, and so for us, it hasn't ever been about, and I know I wish it was, there's every entrepreneur is different, but my co-founder and I, we genuinely started this business because we want to help people feel better. I met him on a walk that still strikes me as like the weirdest, most faded conversation. You know, the way that people are like, how did you meet your husband? I'm like, I met my work husband at tea. And then we went on a walk for 4 hours. Hmm. And then I proposed that we start a company. I proposed, you know, but
I love it.
But there is the ability to then scale this into communities that are disadvantaged, that into communities that are at need, to really standardize something where you're supporting people who need help, not saying, well, the way to feel better is to go to your primary care provider, have them tell you that there's something wrong with you, give you a pill, make you feel unheard, and then send you on your way.
Mm-hmm. Or give you a list of referrals and then never follow up after that point.
I love the referral list. Crack me up. I sprained my ankle and so badly. Oh my goodness. I mean, I tore all of the ligaments in my left ankle, which is fine. But again, that thing where, and then they print out, you know, a sheet of paper with two columns and they're like, call one of these people. And you think like, who's good at this? How do I know that they're going to allow me to run again? Will I ever be an athlete? What have they done? What is the recommendation based on? And they're like, I don't know, man. It's just in our system.
And these people don't even live in the state anymore. Yeah,
exactly. Like, and it's not even updated.
They quit practicing during COVID. They don't take your insurance, totally. But like, you'll probably walk again.
Or they don't give you a referral, which is the really fun one. And that was where I ended up during my journey, where I was literally in this primary care and I would see a different primary care every time, because that's how it works in that system. And I remember looking this woman in the face and going, I am not leaving your office until I have a referral in my hand. you can call the police and have me removed. This is the fourth time I've been here. I'm not leaving. And I remember her looking at me with like eyes wide, and she like huffed out of the room. And then the nurse came in, and I just like, I'm just going to repeat to you what I said to the doctor. I'm literally not leaving this room without a referral. Well, that's not how the process works. It takes 36 hours. And I was like, well, then I'm sitting here for 36 hours unless the police drag me out. I was at that point, and they were so flabbergasted that somebody actually said that, like, guess who got a referral in her hand within the hour?
Love that. Way to lay it down.
You know,
I mean, like, do you guys know the difference between an HMO and a PPO? Do you even know what that means?
The only thing I know is that with an HMO, you need to go to your primary care for everything. And with a PPO, you don't. That's the only difference that I
Bingo.
Know.
An HMO is basically like your PCP, your primary care provider, is they are the wizard. They have the wand. And when they wave the wand, you can go. Mm-hmm. But if you're a PPO, it's a choose your own adventure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, choose your own adventure can feel a little bit ambiguous. You're like, where do I go? I don't know what to do. But having a layer, an interstitial layer of permission, where every time you want to do anything for your healthcare, you need to consult this one person. It's not that they're necessarily linked. I mean, your body is certainly linked, but you know, me spraining my ankle miserably, being in Austin, Texas, and wondering like, now what do I do? And being told that I need to go to my primary care provider in LA in order to get a referral to a doctor in Texas. You're like, do you see the challenge you're presenting? Like, sir,
anything about this feel crazy to you?
I understand you. And I so understand you, but my foot is blue and I can't walk. So I'm pretty sure something's bad. So you want me to get on a plane?
My eye was swollen shut. And I was like, I'm sorry, you're not going to let me go see an optometrist. Why? It's my eye. Oh, you're fine. I'm like, I can't see. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
it's crazy making.
it's a system. I think, you know, that my last company, we sought out to, we redesigned banking fundamentally. It was a question of like, how can you build a bank for the way that people work, not the way that banks wish people could work, which is like, people move quickly. They use a phone. They don't really want to talk to a teller and they want to know where their money is at all times. Let's just build that. You know, I think for us, it's we're rebuilding healthcare for the way that people work, which is they don't always feel good. They need to have answers and they have both minds and bodies. Yeah. And if the two are in harmony and they're in alignment, then you'll feel great. And if something's not, then you won't feel great.
I think this is phenomenal, Kristen. I think you're going to change the way that we are able to support people in this country. So thank you for what you're doing. Truly.
Thank you. I'm so excited too.
So we have a lightning round of questions that we ask all our guests that we want to get to, if all we can.
Lay it on me.
Okay. So who have been your greatest influences, mentors, people that have impacted you the most along your journey up to this point?
My mom, my dad, my business partner, the CEO of my last company, Adam, he molded me very meticulously. My early mentor at Microsoft, Jill Bailey. Chili Bean. And you know, I think school as a whole, my university experience and sort of the ability to flourish and explore.
Beautiful.
Where do you find yourself, or what do you find yourself doing when you are in a state of flow? So what's that thing that kind of, you know, you can blink your eyes and an entire day goes by?
I'm usually outside. I know that's shocking. And I'm generally riding a bike. And if I'm riding, often I'm looking at water. Like I, you know, 5 hours later, I've sat there and drank five bottles of water, looking at water or riding a bike or just with people I love. Like, and you know, it doesn't really matter what we're doing. Having a great conversation like this, where you're learning so much about other human beings.
And what breaks your heart, Krista?
A lot of things. I honestly, seeing people who aren't happy, who aren't feeling, you know, watching, I think that there's a thing when someone reaches this place and they believe that the suffering simply is the way it is, they're like, well, that's just life. And I think, it doesn't have to be. Like the losing the fighting spirit or losing the belief that you deserve to feel wonderful. That breaks my heart.
And then the last one is very serious. What is your favorite food?
Let me check in with myself on that one. I think I'd say Brussels sprouts. It's a tie between Brussels sprouts and broccoli.
First Brussels sprouts.
That was a first first time.
Brussels sprouts. There's like a way that you pan, you cut them directly in half, lay them on the pan flat in olive oil so that they're pan fried for very briefly, like 8 minutes, and then just a little bit of lemon juice. I could eat that every day.
This is a healthy woman.
Okay, I'll try it. I hate Brussels sprouts.
So I swear it's so version. Good. We oh owe that God. Genius to my ex-boyfriend. He's like, wow, you are just a culinary king.
That is amazing. Oh, well, Krista, thank you so much for doing this. I think it's just really incredible to know that Kensho Health is out there. And I'm just so excited to have this information. So thank you.
Thank you both so much.
It's been amazing.
It's been really great chatting with you.
Enjoy the rest of your treehouse day.
I know. I want to be where you are. You guys will see in the video. It looks amazing.
Next time you're in LA, we'll come up and have dinner.
We are. Don't worry.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. I mean, but you're, I guess, well, towards Topanga. Come up, have dinner. I mean it. Why not?
We have to.
We'll hit you up.
All right. Bye. Thank you both. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cheaper Than Therapy.
Be sure to share it with a friend, subscribe, and give us a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And if you want to connect with us more, find us on Instagram at Cheaper Than Therapy, the podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.